Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY27 earnings conference call of CeMAC Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in a listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference has been recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Balasubramanian from Arihant Capital Markets Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Julius. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of Arihant Capital, I welcome you to the earnings of CeMAC Limited Q1 FY27 conference call. From the management side today, we have Mr. Naveen Gupta, Whole-time Director, Mr. Ashok Verma, CFO, and Mr. Sunil Gupta, VP Strategy and Investor Relations. We welcome the management of CeMAC on this call. Now, I invite Mr. Naveen Gupta, sir, to give his opening remarks, following which we will open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Bala. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of CeMAC, I extend a very warm welcome to all our shareholders, investors, analysts, and other participants joining us today for our earnings conference call. Thank you for taking the time to be with us and for your continued confidence in the company. The global offshore energy industry continues to witness healthy structural growth driven by increasing focus on energy security, offshore exploration and production, and investment in offshore infrastructure. While the energy transition continues, recent geopolitical developments have reinforced the importance of conventional oil and gas, supporting continued investment in domestic exploration and production. Against this backdrop, demand for specialized offshore vessels and marine services remains encouraging. Increasing exploration, brownfield redevelopment, subsea infrastructure, and production optimization are creating sustained opportunities for experienced offshore services providers. For CeMAC, the Middle East remains a key growth market. The gradual reopening of offshore activities in Iran could support regional vessel demand over the medium to long term, while Saudi Arabia continues to be strategically important. Our operations in the kingdom have delivered consistent performance, strong safety standards, and reliable execution. We remain focused on building long-term customer relationships and strengthening CeMAC's position as a preferred offshore service provider in the region. In India, the recent Andaman and Mahanadi Basin discovery further highlighted the country's significant offshore potential. As these discoveries progress toward development and production, they are expected to create opportunities across subsea intervention, diving support, inspection, maintenance, and offshore construction areas where CeMAC has established capabilities and experience. Industry fundamentals remain supportive, with limited availability of quality offshore support vessels. Disciplined fleet addition and increasing offshore activity supporting healthy utilization and a favorable supply-demand balance. Chartering conditions also remain encouraging, and our focus continues to be on the securing contracts that provide sustainable return and long-term revenue visibility. Operationally, our fleet continues to maintain healthy utilization across domestic and international contracts. We remain focused on operational reliability, safety, proactive maintenance, and efficient vessel deployment. Fleet modernization is also an important part of our strategy, and we continue to selectively evaluate opportunities that enhance our capabilities while maintaining disciplined capital allocation. Looking ahead, we remain optimistic about the opportunity pipeline across India and international markets, particularly the Middle East. While geopolitical uncertainties remain, our diversified operations, experienced workforce, and disciplined execution provide resilience. Our strategy remains clear: maximize fleet utilization, maintain the highest standard of safety and execution, strengthen customer relationships, and allocate capital prudently. With supportive industry fundamentals and expanding opportunities across key markets, we believe CeMAC is well-positioned to participate in the next phase of offshore growth and deliver sustainable long-term value to our stakeholders. With that, I would like to welcome our new CFO, Mr. Ashok Verma, and hand over the call to him, who will take you through the financial performance for the quarter. Ashokji.
Thank you. Thank you, Naveenji, for introduction, and good morning to everyone. I extend a warm welcome to everyone joining us for today's Q1 FY27 earnings call. I'll take you through our financial performance for the quarter. On a consolidated basis, revenue for the quarter stood at 297 crores as compared to 211 crores in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. This reflects a year-on-year growth of 41%. At the standalone level, revenue stood at 283 crores as against 201 crores during the same quarter last year. Consolidated EBITDA for the quarter stood at rupees 124 crores, while standalone EBITDA stood at rupees 117 crores. Profit after tax on a console basis stood at 81 crores compared with 76 crores in the same quarter last year. Standalone profit after tax stood at 81 crores as against 80 crores during the same quarter at the previous year. The quarter's operational performance continued to benefit from healthy fleet utilization, efficient project execution, disciplined cost management, and improved operational efficiency across both domestic and international assignments. Our balance sheet continued to remain healthy and provide sufficient flexibility to pursue selective growth opportunity while maintaining financial discipline. We remain committed to improve operational efficiency, optimizing fleet utilization, strengthening profitability, and maintaining prudent capital allocation as we continue to build long-term shareholder value. With that, I would now request to moderator to open the floor for question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Siddharth Chauhan from 360 ONE Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on good set of numbers. Couple of questions. Firstly, if I look at the EBIT margins, the offshore segment margins are materially better than onshore. So can you explain the reason for it?
Siddharth, basically, the margins have improved here because largely the vessel deployment has been higher. Okay. And in other segment, because Paladin was not operational, so there was some cost incurred on that, which has pulled down the margins to that segment.
Understood. And especially on Paladin, I think it has returned to the Indian shore. So should it be contributing to revenue immediately or it is still pending?
Yes, Siddharth, the Paladin has already resumed its operation. So you will see the contribution from this quarter itself.
Understood. And on CMAC Anant, I think it is expected to join our fleet by the end of this month. Will it go for dry dock first or will it be immediately deployed with ONGC?
No, there is no dry dock due for CMAC Anant. But due to some statutory formality that we need to comply with, it may take almost like a month before it resume its contract with ONGC. We will try to expedite this process as much as possible, but we are hopeful that it will start the operation within this quarter and we will get as much as possible revenue contribution from CMAC Anant as well.
Understood. Thank you so much, sir. That was really helpful and all the best for the future.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhaval Popar from Choice International Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. I understand that given the current situation in the Middle East and there is a lot of demand which is driving the charter rates higher for particularly situation offshore diving support vessels. So can you provide some color as in till what extent can we expect these charter rates to remain high or how much more work you are able to see in the next 15 months as compared to past 2 or 3 years or some color on sustainability of the charter rates?
So we'll see. As far as the upside on the charter rates are concerned, there is nothing we can specify that, okay, the price will go up to this point or this point. It is always demand and supply. But on demand side, the demand side remains quite strong. And we are quite hopeful once this this restriction or sanction gets lifted, there is going to be much more stronger demand, because the number of DSVs available and working are quite less compared to the demand that we foresee is going to happen. So for next 3 to 5 years, we remain quite bullish that DSVs are going to get a strong demand.
That is really helpful. And yeah, agree. And if I may just ask a follow up on I have a second question on particularly costs, and that is of course as far as IMR is concerned, the cost is with the client, but then for EPC the cost is borne by us, and of course there is something on the cards, but can you provide some color or something that could be cost is a more of as a rule of thumb wherein the cost could be tracked effectively?
Tracking specific cost may not be possible, because as you know that EPC works season to season, and it also includes raw material cost, fuel cost. So it changes depending on the geopolitical situation and the current economic cycle. Also the cost of IMR fluctuates, because this depend on the on hire and off hire. But we have given you a broad thumb rule, and you would see that our margins have become very stable. So generally, we always guide investors that we should track between 40 to 42% margins, and we should grow our revenues and business, which will help improve the bottom line going forward.
I agree. Thank you so much. This is really helpful. Thanks.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask question. The next question is from the line of Aditya Banerjee from an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is regarding the Seedland acquisition. Like, what is the expected timeline for completion? Like, quarter two FY27 is mentioned, but this is an MOU only, right? And the second question is that what is the purchase consideration and financing structure?
I say this Simek Anant is going to be acquired sometime during end of this month. We have already disclosed this on exchange filing also, and this is a binding agreement between HAL Offshore and Simek. So once these formalities, prior formalities are completed, then we will execute the sale transaction, and vessel will be owned and in the CMEX name. And this activity is likely to be completed by end of this month. And regarding this consideration, that is also mentioned, it is $70 million US dollar, which is the purchase consideration for the vessel.
And this will be financed through internal equity and loans, which will be around 50-50%.
Okay, so got it. And my other question is that, like, what is the current status of the vessel? Like, is it on hire or in contract immediately, or will it require downtime for recertification or dry docking before it can generate revenue?
The vessel already has got a contract with the parent company and ONGC. So after the acquisition, that same contract will resume. So there will be a cooling off period for completing the statutory formalities that may be somewhere around a month's time after the acquisition, and after that immediately it will resume the contract.
Okay. And sir, the Paladin vessel is mentioned as not operating due to Strait of Hormuz. Can you elaborate on this risk?
No, it is not non-operational. The vessel was quite ready. It has gone for a dry dock to Dubai, and by the time it could return back, this conflict started in the Middle East, and so it couldn't sail back. So now that position is over, vessel has already come back to India, and it has already resumed its contract.
Okay. And sir, what is the financial impact of this on a pre-quarter basis, and when do you expect it to resume operations?
It has already resumed operations, and in Q1 there was a financial impact, because while the vessel has not incurred any revenue, we had to bear the cost of it, Okay, and in Q2 it is operational and we'll start seeing the results in Q2.
Okay, okay, fine. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tejas from TNJ Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, yeah, good afternoon and thank you for the opportunity. So a couple of questions. First, if I'm not wrong, CMAC 3 and Princess is currently off-hired. And when are they likely to be on-hired again?
See, CMAC Princess, as you all be knowing, that it works on the EPC contract. And EPC contract typically run from October to May. And May to October period being a monsoon period, these vessels which are operating in EPC contract remain idle. So this is a known idle period for the vessel. And we are utilizing this period for dry docking the vessel CMAC Princess. So that there is no revenue loss when the vessel starts working.
So anything on the lead, sir, for CMAC 3 and Princess currently or nothing on the horizon for October because month and a half from now?
No, no, the talks are going on. It is at quite advanced stage. So once it is finalized, we will be filing with the exchange so that everybody is aware about the contracts.
Okay. And so during this monsoon period, apart from these two, which other vessels will be off-hired?
The CMAC Glorious, the barge is there, which remains off-hire. And okay. These are the three vessels which remains off-hired during the monsoon period.
And the contract of the Samudra Sevak and Prabha, they will continue, right? And that's not going to stop.
That continues.
Okay. Sir, we had also mentioned previously that, CMAC 2, when it gets hired, post-August will be at a higher rate. So is that getting materialized or is it continue at the same rate?
No, I do not think we have ever conveyed that kind of impression that CMAC 2 will get higher on a higher rate. It will be completing its charter sometime in August 10th. And after that, we intend to use the vessel again for the EPC kind of work instead of IMR work. So we again, the talks are going on for deployment of CMAC 2 also. So as and when something is finalized, we will be filing with the stock exchanges.
Okay. And sir, Gallant, what is the timeline for, I think we are waiting for the shareholders approval, right, to sell it off.
Yes.
So what are the timelines, when are we expecting that to get completed?
So post shareholder approval, I don't think so, there will be much formalities and in the coming month, which is September, we should be able to complete.
Okay, sir, one last question. So we had, I think last year somewhere, we were having that Grant Thornton related some audit internally to see what is the kind of hefty royalty that we are paying to the parent. What is the status on that, sir? What is the report that has come out? If I might have missed it, if it's announced in the stock exchanges.
No, there was no 4%
of revenue.
No, there was no inquiry or something. It was some kind of that reassurance that independent directors and they have asked GT to examine these things holistically. So that has been done and they have submitted a satisfactory report which is being under consideration from the independent directors.
So that report will be shared or because it was expected to be shared, I think last quarter or the last to last quarter we had mentioned that.
There is no requirement for sharing this report. If there is any kind of adverse something is there, then only that further action will be taken. But there is no requirement for sharing and I don't think it will be shared. It is aware
so that,
because it is an internal document.
So that 4% of the revenue still continues, as it is. Is that understanding correct?
Correct.
Okay, sir. Okay, sir. Thank you. That's all for my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mahesh Kumar from MU Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. So I just have two questions from my side. So first on fleet utilization and growth. So with higher vessel deployment driving the strong revenue growth in Q1 and with Anant expected to be added in Q2, how should we think about the fleet utilization and revenue growth trajectory for the rest of FY27 and into FY28?
Already mentioned that with newer vessels coming in and higher deployment, FY27 will see growth and FY28 also. And the idea is that how we should grow between 15 to 20% CAGR in next 3 to 5 years. Management is committed for that number, and we are planning to do every bit in our scope to see that we achieve that growth.
Okay, sir. And second question on the margins, sir. So revenue grew approximately 41% and EBITDA margin was around 42%. So as the newer vessels ramp up and utilization improves, should we expect margins to move back towards the mid-40 range, or should we consider the current level as the more sustainable going forward?
See, right now we would maintain 42% because at times there are periods when the vessels may go on off hire or dry dock, and we have always maintained that quarterly we would not like to comment, but annualized basis 40 to 42% margins are sustainable.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you so much for the opportunity and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Param Agarwal from Param Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Just wanted to understand the impact of Samudra Manthan going forward and our next steps there.
See, Samudra Manthan is a policy initiative which has been taken by the government of India to push for this oil exploration activities. From this recent incident of this geopolitical risk due to this Middle East crisis, government is now more focused on pushing for the oil exploration so that we can become as much possible as independent on this oil import. So it is a push toward a right direction. And this activity or this push is going to help all the companies in the value chain. So from the oil explorer perspective to the service provider, everybody is going to get the benefited from this. So government has laid down the policy, and the fruit of this will be visible maybe after 3 to 5 years. But it is a very commendable effort from the government of India to start supporting this oil exploration activity.
Got it, sir. And so will we see an impact in the next 2 years from this?
No, 2 years will be too short a time because it is going to take, as I told you, it is 3 to 5 years to get a visible impact for CMEC, because the oil exploration activity is a long gestation kind of activity. It takes a lot of time to start the commercial production and then then the work for the CMEC will come for the maintenance and all these activities. So it is going to take time, but definitely it is in a right direction, and CMEC will definitely get benefited.
Got it. Thank you, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Preeti Iyer, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for this opportunity. So, sir, I had a question. How do you see the opportunity pipeline developing in Saudi Arabia?
Middle East as a whole is a very good opportunity. Saudi Arabia is a hotspot. Then Qatar is a hotspot. Then Abu Dhabi is also an hotspot. So there are a lot of opportunities in these three countries. And maybe once sanctions are lifted from Iran, that will be another new border that will be opening up. So all these countries are going to be quite a hotspot for the future requirement for these kind of vessels.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohit Mehra from SK Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Good morning and thank you for this opportunity.
Sorry to interrupt, Rohit, sir. Could you please use your answer?
Yeah, I'm using handset only. Is it clear now?
Yes, better.
Yeah, thank you. I joined later, so pardon me if I'm repeating the question. What is the expected revenue contribution from our ONGC and O&M operational and maintenance contracts from Samudra Sevak and Samudra Prabha over FY27?
We don't disclose vessel-wise contribution. However, we have maintained that because here there is no capital employed in terms of fixed cost, so these will contribute higher in terms of the return on capital employed. and together we should be able to maintain 40 to 42% margins for this year and next year.
Fair enough, sir. My second question is, how long do you expect this current favorable supply demand environment for specialized offshore vessels to continue? And are customers increasingly looking for long-term contracts for as the change companies approach to take deployment and capital allocation?
Can you please repeat your question?
Yeah, I'm asking about how long do you expect that current favorable supply demand environment for specialized offshore vessels to continue?
See, we see a strong demand for this sector for the next 3 to 5 years.
Okay, got it. And are customers increasingly looking for long-term contracts, or how is it?
So we are having a mix of long-term as well as EPC contract, which are on seasonal basis. So some of our vessels are in long-term contract for 3 to 5 years, while we are also having vessels contract where we are taking EPC job on seasonal basis from October to May.
Okay. Could you please give me a just proportion of the current fleet is covered by long-term and versus the vessel exposed to spot or short-term duration opportunities, if possible?
So see, around 35 to 40% contracts are short-term and balance are on long-term. Basically, the EPC contracts that Naveenji mentioned are short-term, and IMR are generally mid to long-term.
Got it. Thank you. That's it from my side, and all the best.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask question. The next question is from the line of Tejas from TNJ Investment. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the follow-up. So we have mentioned that, you know, that we are looking Middle East as our growth area, and we've almost completed 1 year with Swordfish over there. So do we have anything which is in the pipeline or very close to execution? How is the market response, or are we still exploring that area?
See, as we have mentioned all through this earlier phone calls also, as well as in this phone call also, we continue to evaluate selectively for the suitable tonnage. As and when we find that, okay, there is something which is going to add value for all the stakeholders, we will definitely go for the acquisition. And it is an ongoing process. So there is nothing we can confirm at this point of time that, okay, this acquisition is going to take place.
No, sir, actually I was not asking and pertaining to giving the heads up. I was just saying that from the Middle East, are we getting more orders since we have, you know, we've... See, if I understand correctly, qualifying for Aramco is like, it takes about 2-3 years or 4 years. And now that we have qualified, so we'll have some reputation in the market. So is it helping us getting more inquiry? And that's what I was just trying to get some color on that.
Yeah, that is definitely there. And that's why we have been telling that Middle East and particularly Saudi Arabia remains our key growth area. And we continue to look for opportunity for working over there.
But since all the vessels are currently deployed, any growth... For that, we need to do a growth capex to get incremental business in that area.
Got it. And so in the PPT, you have mentioned Pearl, but if correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't the Pearl already sold off or is still there is an asset?
No. Pearl, if we have gone through that earlier documentation and the filing, it is a disputed case, so arbitration is going for that vessel. So... Okay. That is the current status for the vessel.
This is a different vessel than what you mentioned. So this is a bulk carrier in our Dubai subsidiary.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. And that was the OSV that we were about to purchase in CMAC.
Oh, okay. Oh, so that is disputed currently. So, okay. So after the acquisition, do we continue to still want to purchase it, or we've given up on that thought?
No, we have given up on that because anyway, that was a small supply vessel. So, that doesn't contribute much to the top line as well as bottom line. So, that is not something which is of a focus area.
Okay. And in the last call, sir, you had mentioned to me that we are trying to get out of the bulk carrier. So, business, the JV is going to be diluted. So, I believe we are on track of that change, or we continue to maintain that.
We have already done one agreement to liquidate one of the vessels.
Correct.
Correct.
So that is our progress in that currently.
Okay. And so we had mentioned that we were having this MOU with DG Shipping and where we were planning to do 1,000 crore acquisition in the next 2 years. Any progress on that, sir, or that is currently wait and watch?
So see, you look at it that like we are acquiring the CMEC, Ananta is there, and correct. Then we, as I told you, we continue to look for suitable opportunities, and we definitely intend to grow the fleet in coming 2 years. So definitely, this is an MOU that we have signed. Knowing well our growth plans.
Okay. Okay, sir. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Muskan Patel from JK Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. You just mentioned about CMAP Anand. My question is around that only. Can you elaborate more on the current status and the timeline for the proposed acquisition?
See, as we mentioned just now, that the acquisition of the vessel and the completion of formalities should get completed by end of this quarter. And in the coming quarter, which is Q3, we expect to get it deployed in the existing contract, which it is currently due for.
Okay, so then how is the expected utilization and the revenue contribution from the announced once we require it post the Q3?
So see, typically since it's an IMR contract, we would like to say that it should give us almost 95% to 98% utilization from the day it starts rolling in the waters.
Okay. Got it. That answers my question. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
A reminder to all participants that you may press star and want to ask question. A reminder to all participants that you may press star and want to ask question. As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference to the management for the closing comments.
Those who have taken out time to participate in today's earning call, as we have mentioned at the beginning also, we are committed to deliver value to our stakeholders. And currently the economic cycle is buoyant towards oil and gas. So we would like to take all the opportunities which can add more value for the company and its stakeholders. Thank you and see you for the next quarter.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Arihant Capital Market Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.